Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Liz Hoffman. Faith and Family is underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all the great things that they have to offer. And we have a link to Concordia on our website as well. Now, last week we had a real big event here at KFUO. It was our Share-a-thon 2013. We had a great time and had many wonderful guests, but just wanted to take the time to say thank you to all of our listeners for your continued support here at KFUO. Well, this week on the show, we will be talking about Lutherans and education. We have different guests scheduled for each day of the week to discuss various areas of education. Now, I want to remind you that you, our listeners, get to be a part of the show. You can call in or email your questions and comments for our experts. Call during the show, and those numbers are 314-505-7850. Or if you're outside of the St. Louis area, call 800-730-2727. We also take emails. If you want to email us your questions or comments, family@kfuo.org. So today we are very fortunate. We have three experts helping us kick off our week on Lutherans and education. We have Dr. Bernard Bull, Reverend Dr. David Berner, and Dr. James Jurgensen. All three have all kinds of great things going on. Dr. Bernard Bull is an assistant vice president of academics and associate professor of education at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Before serving at Concordia, he taught middle school and social studies and theology at Lutheran schools in Rockford, Illinois, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's a proud high school alumnus of Metro East Lutheran School in Edwardsville, Illinois, and he also went on to earn a BA in history, theology, and education, and a master's in curriculum and instruction, a master's in humanities, and an education in instructional technology. Reverend Dr. Berner is the Executive Director of International Education at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and he is responsible for working closely with the academic deans and the program directors to identify, connect, and coordinate the CUW's multiple relationships and academic programs in order to further define and expand CUW's global footprint. Dr. Berner was formerly responsible for leadership of the LCMS World Mission International Program in Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Eurasia. He graduated from Concordia Senior College in Fort Wayne, Indiana with a Bachelor of Arts degree, and he received a Master of Divinity degree from Christ Seminary in St. Louis. And in 2010, he also received a Doctor of Ministry degree. Now, our third guest today is Dr. James Jurgensen, a senior, and I think they call him Dr. J. His students do anyway. He has 50 years in the full-time teaching and leading ministry and 28 years at Concordia University. He's been a principal at Lutheran High School and the American School in Japan and a superintendent of the Association of Lutheran Schools in Rockford, Illinois. Dr. Jurgensen has received many awards, including Teacher of the Year, Advisor of the Year, Wisconsin State Educator of the Year, and he just recently received the Christian Service Award at the Concordia graduation. Dr. Jurgensen also has three children who all are teachers as well. Reverend Dr. Berner, Dr. Bull, and Dr. Jurgensen, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz.
Well, we are honored to have three experts such as yourselves to shine some light on higher education for us. This is great.
Well, we're excited to be here, and thank you for giving us an opportunity. I'm Dr. Berner, as the newest member of the team here. I've come from the international world where I've had the opportunity to see the Lutheran higher education actually being discovered in places around the world for its vibrancy and its attractiveness to so many people around the world. But more importantly, my colleagues here have many combined years of experience in higher education, so this should be a very informative show.
Yes, I think so. I think this is going to be great for our listeners to learn a little bit more about higher education from a Lutheran standpoint, something that that can be very educational for everyone. Now, there's so many college students. They go away to college from high school, and maybe things change a little bit after they've left and they astray from their faith. Tell us about the importance of a Christian-based higher education.
Liz, this is Dr. J. I'll jump in on that one. First of all, when I hear the weather forecast that you gave, it's going to be 71 in St. Louis. We're hoping it gets up to 51. It was 41 when I rode in my motorcycle this morning. So.
Well, you know, you could have drove down here for the interview, and it would have been okay.
Okay. Anyhow, that's an excellent question. And when kids go away from school and they're testing themselves and testing others, and they're not maybe being taken to church by their family, and maybe they were going to a Lutheran high school or not, but they're struggling, and struggle is good, and that's what college and university is all about. And so I think the advantage of a faith-based, of course I'm biased for one of the Concordias in the Concordia University system, but a faith-based Christian college, one of the advantages is there's instructors and there's people to help them in their struggle and work with them. But it's very natural that this happens. 18, 19, 20, that's what happens. I think a lot of us struggle throughout our lives, so it's very natural.
Liz, this is Bernard Bull. I'd like to follow up as a graduate, as an alum of Concordia University, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, and Dr. J was my advisor when I was a student here a few years ago. And just to kind of illustrate what Dr. J was saying, he's very committed to relational ministry, as many and many of the faculty are here. And so I think as families are trying, and students are choosing what sort of school to go to, that it's not just about the content and the programs and the degrees and the credentials, which are valuable and important considerations, but it's also about the commitment that the university is willing to make to the students. And Concordia University Wisconsin and many of the Concordias that I've visited are very committed to mentoring. And I just have to share a very quick story of Dr. J. After I graduated from Concordia, I was in my first call, and I had a number of calls to different Lutheran schools, and I was considering different jobs, and every time I would give Dr. J a call, and he would talk through the pluses and the minuses with me and explore different things like this. No, he's not getting paid for working with me anymore. I'm a grad. They got my tuition. They had my tuition already. This one last time, I had a call back in 2000, and I called Dr. J, and he didn't answer. I was considering a call to Milwaukee Lutheran High School, and Dr. J didn't pick up, but later that day, I got a voicemail from him, the longest voicemail I've ever received in my life. And I have the nickname Boom, which I've had since birth, and so I'm actually from the St. Louis area, so some of my friends and family may be listening, so that's what they call me. And Dr. J left a message, and he said, Boom, I'm not going to be able to work through this one with you because I'm going in for heart surgery in a few minutes. But I'd just like to go through the pluses and minuses with you. And he proceeded to kind of walk through this. And it was very great advice, and I ended up taking the call to Milwaukee, which was a great blessing.
And that surgery was, you said, in a few minutes?
Yeah, he was heading out the door.
Wow.
So it's your first distinctive of Lutheran educators. They never quit.
So there's maybe a little bit of dedication that you might not find everywhere, huh? Well, I was going to ask about, so many students, they may have the mindset that when they go off to college, this is their time to live it up and maybe break loose, and knowing that they'll return to leading a Christian life once they maybe get older. What is the problem with this?
That's a huge problem. I think anybody that thinks, hey, I can take care of, let me have a good time now, and I can take care of the Christian bit and getting to heaven later, probably never happens. That's why in those key years, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, those key years and right after, it's just very important that they're surrounded by, as Boehm said, by mentors, by people that can pick them up when they fall, when they make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. I think we all have. And so I think we're there for them. That'd be my quick reaction. That is dangerous. That is dangerous thinking.
I do think that, this is Bernard again, I think that it's natural, as Dr. J mentioned earlier, for students to have some questions and to explore and to experiment, to to an extent, but the critical question is, where do we want them to ask those questions? Where do we want them to be when they're having those questions and they're exploring? And one of the things that's great about Lutheran higher education is we are a community that embraces students as they go through those challenges and those struggles.
And I would add to that, this is David Berner, I would add that I think in this environment, the fact that we have Lutheran educators at the core of our institution is like a center of gravity. And so even though we have students who come in and they are experimenting and they're swirling around in a life that's freer than it may have been before, but at the center, it's always going to come back to a mentor, to a faculty member, a teacher who is that that conscience, that center of gravity that pulls them back for the kind of dialogue that needs to happen at that stage in life.
Right. Now, I was thinking that whenever parents start talking with their children about college, this could be for sure in high school, but maybe even in middle school, how should the parents talk with their, say, middle schoolers about the importance of a university such as Concordia?
Well, I can say from my experience with my own children growing up that they actually were born on the mission field. They were born in Papua New Guinea, and when we returned to the U.S., we had a saying in our house that the world is your stage, the world is your place where you get to play out the gifts that God has given you. And therefore, it makes sense to go somewhere where you can nurture those gifts and still discover exactly that gift that God has given you. And I think for all three of my children that was a seed that was planted deeply, that they understood from early on that the gifts that they had and that were emerging in their lives were not of their own making, but gifts from God, and therefore that seed grew even up till their application process. My wife and I were anxiously watching to see if they'd actually choose a Lutheran school to go to, which they did. So we were we found that worked very well for us.
And this is Bernard. I think one piece of advice I'd give to parents is don't just make your decisions based on the websites and the data and so forth, but meet people, talk to people, get to the universities if you can, talk to the professors, really dig in and ask the tough questions that you want answered. And I'm going to say something that could be controversial in some circles, I guess, with regard to Lutheran education, but I don't know if a Lutheran university is the best choice for every single student. There are different callings that God may have upon different students, and maybe they aspire to a career where a different university might be a better fit for them. But even with that in mind, I would encourage them to be looking for, well, is there a nearby church or a faith mm-hmm. community where mm-hmm. I can help them get connected right away? Is there a Lutheran ministry on that campus? Now, granted, we have those things built into our culture at a Lutheran university, but regardless of where they go, I think those are important considerations.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, I'm an old guy, as you as you were saying, 50 years in the ministry. All three of our kids and a number of our grandkids already have gone through Lutheran elementary schools, high schools, and Concordia experience. And most of the Concordias, and talking about ours especially, have developed so many programs now that it's not just head to Concordia, be a pastor or a teacher. You can get virtually any program that you can get in a secular university at our place. So you're not just pushing kids to have to be like you, which a lot of times kids don't want to be just like you, but it's interesting how many change their minds later and end up doing the same thing. So I'll throw that in there.
Absolutely. And Dr. Jurgensen, I believe you've been there the longest. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Concordia?
Yeah, contrary to what most people think, I was not one of the founding professors back in 1880-something or whatever.
Now, no one told me that.
But in the late 19th century, we were established to be a pre-sem program, prepare high school and junior college gymnasium boys to head to the one of the two seminaries and become a pastor. Later on, we went 4 years finally in the 1970s, and education was added, business was added. Dr. Boot came in the late 70s and started pushing other programs, and again, we were a four-year institution at that point, and then later became a university, and then Dr. Ferry took it from there. But we have so many majors, like I think 50 or 60, and all kind of programs now. So we prepare, it's still a core, we prepare teachers and pastors and lay ministers and parish nurses and music and so forth. We do that. That's still a core, and the liberal arts is a core, but so many of the health sciences and the health fields here have really... We're sitting in the third floor of a pharmacy building, for instance. And so we're preparing Christian pharmacists and Christian business people to be active laity in their churches. So that's the quick history of Concordia. We've gone from a junior college, except for Seward and River Forest. You know, those were the original teachers' colleges. Most of the rest of us were junior colleges feeding those two. And then as each of us has developed, we developed our own culture, and that's the culture here at Concordia, Wisconsin.
Great. Tell us about some of the ways that Concordia keeps students active in their Lutheran faith.
This is Bernard. There are a variety of activities. Pastor Steve Smith, our campus pastor, just does an outstanding job, and we have two full-time DCEs that also serve as part of the campus ministry team, and they have a wide variety of activities. There are daily chapel opportunities, a myriad of Bible studies, and weekend and evening activities, lots of opportunities to get involved in children's ministry and youth ministry. I don't know, what are some other things you guys think of?
I would add that from the international perspective, there are students who are working on their own. So many of the activities, as Bernard pointed out, are ministries of the universities that are formal. But there are many informal activities going on. For example, we have a small group known as CHAT. I think they say that conversation happens all the time. And they are the ones who connect with international students who are studying ESL. And they take it on themselves to have individual activities with students throughout the week. They'll go out to lunch. They'll have individual Bible studies. They'll just be friends to talk to. So that's one example of the kind of student-led initiatives that I've been introduced to here recently. So it goes the whole from the bookends, from the top school administration to the students who are incoming, who are involved in the ministries of the school.
This is Dr. J. Just hearing those is why you can see that it's been tough for me to make a decision to retire. It's just a great place. On the other hand, I don't have to do some of the minutiae. I can just get involved with all this great stuff that we're talking about. Let me just give you an example of something pretty unique. We have a very, as Boom was saying, we have a very strong and active athletic program and drama and music and all kind of activities here. My son, who's also on the education faculty here as director of secondary ed, James Jr., has been approached by Pastor Smith, our campus pastor, and Dr. Ferry to consider a part-time of his position being director of athletic ministries. That's pretty unique. But in that, he can work with coaches and players from a faith-based standpoint, that they're leaders and they're going to be future leaders and they would be key ones. And I think he's pretty excited about that. So I just wanted to throw that in as something kind of unique.
That's great. It sounds like there's just all kinds of things that a student could get involved in other than just the courses themselves.
Yep.
I do think, though, you know, that's a great, I'm glad you said that, because the courses are a significant place as well, and I think you may have some other people you're interviewing later in the week, but we do challenge our faculty to work with the students and to help them explore the distinct content areas from a Lutheran Christian worldview and a Lutheran Christian perspective, regardless of what content area they may be in, whether they're in the School of Business or nursing or one of the other healthcare programs or education or any of the arts and science majors. It's not just in the theology courses where they're challenged to think deeply about their faith.
Yeah, I'll just build on that. I've met with the director of the nursing program here a couple weeks ago, and I was delighted to learn that it's required for the nursing program that they do clinicals, and the clinicals are designed as mission outreach opportunities. So these clinicals will happen in places like Mexico or Puerto Rico or Guatemala, other places in Latin America, as well as in the inner city here in the U.S. And they're designed around the nursing proficiencies that they're required in their clinicals, but they're designed as mission outreach. So in that way, you can see how the Lutheran faith, just the faith, permeates the shaping and forming of young professionals.
Liz, this is Dr. J. You better hear the terms law and gospel, proper use of law and gospel, when you're at a Lutheran university, and you better hear the terms faith and learning. Integration of faith and learning. And with that, Dr. Bull sent a memo back to us. We've got a meeting going at 3, but we're going to cut that meeting off at 4 because who'd you say is going to be presenting today on faith and learning?
Dr. Paul Dauphre. We've been bringing in once a month a different expert in some aspect of Lutheran higher education to continue to train and challenge and equip the faculty to think about what it means to serve in a distinctly Lutheran institution.
All right, great. Tell us a little bit, we just have a couple minutes before we go to break, but if you can just tell us a little bit about, I guess, the rewards of seeing some of these students when they've graduated and they've went on to have successful careers.
There is no, Liz, this is Dr. J, there is no greater thrill. And as I'm reflecting now, as I'm coming down to the last couple months, there is no greater thrill than seeing our graduates out there in whatever they've chosen to do make an impact themselves. That's our mission, that's what we're here for, is to make an impact on them so they can make an impact on others. And we have quite a network amongst all of us, and including the three here, that can help them get into those positions. And I just love it when they call back and have a question or say, hey, this is what Concordia meant to me. You guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those questions where if there's a pause, it's not because we don't have anything to say. It's we're trying to choose among the hundreds of stories and possibilities.
Absolutely.
As an alum, I still keep in contact with people. I graduated back in the early 1990s, and I still have a group of 10 to 15 that we are praying for one another and talking to one another and encouraging one another in our different callings and professions. And there are people in that group who serve as pilots and one was here in occupational therapy, a pilot, a couple of pastors, teachers, you know, just a variety of callings where they're living out their vocation.
Now, I've had calls. From Turkey, from Slovakia, from Asia, all from former students who I've known previously, who are saying, "Hey, we're glad you're working in the international arena. Maybe we can do this and this and this." And it really is exciting to see the network, the global network that Lutheran Education's already built.
All right. Well, listen, guys, we're already halfway through the show. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the programs that are offered with Concordia. You are listening to Faith and Family here on KFUO. We're talking about Lutherans and higher education. If you have a question or comment for Reverend Dr. Berner, Dr. Bull, or Dr. Jurgensen, or maybe you'd like to share a story of your college success at Concordia or other, give us a call, 800-730-2727, or email your questions or comments to family@KFUO. We'll be addressing those questions and comments coming up on the second half of the show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Faith and Family at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman, and we are discussing Lutheran higher education this week. Our guests are Reverend Dr. Berner, Dr. Bull, and Dr. Jurgensen from Concordia University of Wisconsin. Now, if you've ever missed out on any of our shows, there's no worries. Just go to our website. It's kfuo.org. Click on Faith and Family Archives, and you can listen to the entire show, any show, at any time, of course, from anywhere, thanks to our technology these days. And we also have links to all of our experts' business websites on each page for each day. Now, if you have a question about how you can get involved, I guess, with Lutheran education for at the higher level, give us a call, or if you want to comment with these guys, give us a call. We've got the second half of the show. We're opening up our phone lines, and we'd love to hear from you with your calls, your questions or comments. 314-505-7850 or out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email those questions and comments to family@kfuo.org. Now, also want to let you know that coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, we're going to continue this discussion on education within Lutheranism. We're going to talk with a Lutheran mom and a counselor, Melanie Wilson. She homeschools her children. So plan to join us tomorrow at 11 on Faith and Family. Now, before we went to break, we were discussing all different great things about a Lutheran higher education. And I wanted to ask of you guys if you can tell us a little about some of the, I guess, undergraduate degree programs that are offered.
Yeah, we have, I'm not sure what the total number is. It's, I think, 70-plus undergraduate degrees. This is Bernard Bull speaking. We have a number of degrees in the arts and sciences, everything ranging from art to athletic training. They can do biblical languages or pre-seminary, history, environmental studies, multimedia. We have a really interesting multimedia communication program where the students go through sort of a core set of courses together and produce some great work, political science, pre-law, pre-med, pre-pharmacy. And then we have a number of different degrees within the School of Business, ranging from accounting to finance to international business to public relations or management or marketing. In the School of Education, they could study art education, special education, elementary, early childhood, secondary education, and a variety of kind of emphases in there. In the healthcare programs, we have occupational therapy, physical therapy, nursing. They can actually go through bachelor's all the way through doctoral degrees in nursing, rehabilitative sciences. We just have a wide variety. As Dr. J mentioned before, we're maybe not that school that people thought of 40 years ago that were primarily pre-sem and teacher education.
All right. And I was wondering if maybe one of you could hit on the fact that, you know, not all of those are within the church, maybe being a nurse. But there's ways that you can use that job and still spread the love of Christ.
I'd like to just follow up, too. This is Bernard Bull. I think that's one of the things that's very exciting, and it's part of our Lutheran theology and our Lutheran identity, as many people reference to, you know, the milkmaid does not have to put crosses on her milk bucket to, or the shoe, or, you know, or sing hymns while she's milking the cow to give glory to God, nor does the shoemaker have to put crosses on the shoe. The shoemaker glorifies God by loving neighbor, by creating quality product, a shoe, and selling it and doing it in an ethical way. And so we really try to instill that in our students and to help them recognize that we can serve God by loving our neighbors through a wide variety of vocations, whether it's pharmacy, chemistry, biology, or graphic design.
Yeah, I'm going to just, this is Dr. Berner, I want to just add on to that a little bit. From my observations here, the distinctive is that for us, that the starting point for Lutheran education is the individual. And the starting point is that person who God has gifted with that specific set of gifts. The starting point is not knowledge. In other places, you can go where the starting point is knowledge and the attainment of knowledge. But I think that distinctive in our environment, that vocational distinctive of understanding the purpose for our being and understanding the source of our being, and then the knowledge that is gained and pursued is to the development of that gift of God.
As Dr. J, it's a very good point to start with the individual, and each of the examples that Dr. Bull gave there comes right out of Luther's writings. or teacher or so forth, that in whatever you do, you glorify God.
That's a great point. Now, what about graduate studies? Tell us a little bit, if one of you would, about what is offered with Concordia.
I'll jump into that one. I was, when I retired as dean of the School of Education, I, first of all, for 2 years, was the director of our graduate studies in general. And now I'm specifically, I keep working my way down before out, and now I'm specifically director of the grad education. But we have health areas that help me with that. We have pharmacy and OT and PT, you mentioned that before, and graduate nursing programs. The health areas were really expanding. We have MBA for business, including the international education, which is closest to my heart. We have ed tech, which Boom heads up. I wrote counseling down here, and this is really exciting. Dr. Gary Peterson is our director of grad counseling, and he is working very seriously now with a number of individuals to get graduate Christian counseling going, and that is such a need, and very excited about that. And then there's reading, there's leadership, ed admin, there's teaching and learning programs, special ed. Here's a program on family. We have family studies. We're working very closely with Ann Arbor, who we're merging with officially this summer, but have been working with them now over a year. Ben Freudenberg, a very common name out of St. Louis before he went to Ann Arbor, has a robust undergrad family studies, family ministry program going on in Ann Arbor, and we are partnering with them to add the graduate component of that. Student Personnel Administration for those that want to take leadership roles in universities and so forth. But I'll just stop there. But we've got a lot to offer in my own area at admin. We've added servant leadership is a big part of that holds to our mission.
All right, listeners, we would love for you to join in on this discussion. Maybe you have been a student there at Concordia University, or maybe you've even had one of these guys as a professor. Give us a call, or if you have a question or comment for them about Lutheran education, 800-730-2727, or in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or send us an email, family@kfuo.org. We'd love to hear from you guys during this show. Now, Dr. Bull, I understand that you are maybe head of the online courses. Can you tell us a little bit about how we can go about doing this?
Sure. We have a team of 17 full-time people to help ensure that we have a set of online programs that are committed to our faith-based mission and excellence. And the executive director of that team is Sarah Picor, and she just does a phenomenal job working with the different people internally. We actually have over 19 online programs, right, ranging from bachelor's degrees to doctoral degrees, like in nursing, and a new doctoral degree in occupational therapy. If someone goes to online.cuw.edu, they can see the variety of options, but one can pursue entire degrees online in many areas, graduate education, master's degrees in business and education. We're just starting. We're launching some new 15-credit graduate certificates, so if people have a master's but they want a specialization, they can do it, and we're hoping that we'll have one soon in bioethics, one in Christian education, adult education. So we have a wide variety of offerings. We're also, you've probably heard the buzzwords of MOOCs, massive open online courses. We're beginning to experiment with some of those as well. We're actually offering our first massive course, but ours is mildly massive, only 560 or so students. And that's starting in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be a course on understanding cheating in online environments, academic cheating, that is.
All right. Well, it sounds like there's a lot to offer there as far as online learning as well. That's really exciting. Now, Dr. Berner, I was going to ask you about international services. What does Concordia offer in that area?
Well, it's pretty remarkable. I'm still learning the extent to which this the global footprint of Concordia stretches. But every year, Approximately 15 professors in different disciplines will take study abroad trips, and they have study abroad trips in Latin America, in Africa, in Europe, in Asia. They've made relationships with either universities or churches or communities in various parts of the world and take students there every year. So we have anywhere from 250 to 350 students in any given year who are traveling somewhere in the world and learning more in their discipline through that international experience. Then another piece that underscores Concordia's commitment to becoming an international center is that students are eligible for a scholarship, for a grant for their study abroad too, and the university makes a quite significant contribution to the students who would like to study abroad. So we have that large number of students who travel with their professors. Then, including in addition to that, we have the nursing programs that I mentioned before, the health services who do also schedule their clinicals, many of those overseas. So it's become quite robust. I also would like to add that our education department has student teachers who fan out around the country, but also internationally, and that's growing significantly with the new international schools that Synod has in Hanoi, in Shanghai, Concordia International School in Shanghai, and Hong Kong International School in Hong Kong, as well as a partner church school in Jai, Taiwan. So we have students who do go to do their student teaching there, which then qualifies them for international service later on.
Liz, Dr. J, from that student teaching standpoint and study abroad, we work together with the other Concordias and work that out. This is a great cooperative effort to do that international emphasis that Dave talked about. I have a grandson at Seward, and he's majoring in Spanish and international relations, and he will be student teaching in Shanghai, and his fiance is also into the international scene, and their goal is to end up at some international school, or at least a international site, for the beginning of their careers.
And Jim, you make a very good point. Once we leave the shores of the United States, the perception in the rest of the world is that you're either Concordia faculty or Concordia graduate, and we have great cooperation in our work in China, for example, this summer, that we'll have teachers from Concordia Seward, from Irvine, from Portland, and also from Chicago, all working together with the Lutheran Church Hong Kong Synod in one of their ESL programs, and we're all working together constantly to build consortiums of our Lutheran educators. Another example is a group from Texas, New York, Chicago, and Wisconsin have been working together. Even as we speak, we're working with counterparts in Brazil to develop an exchange program and a way for Brazilian students to attend university in the United States. And when we present the Concordia University system, we can present almost an unparalleled opportunity for students to study from coast to coast and from north to south. And we have a very robust program to offer in terms of Lutheran education.
What about the benefits for the students for studying abroad within the world of Lutheranism? What are some of those benefits they'll receive?
I'll jump in there because personally, the mountaintop experience of my life, bar none, where the 6 years I spent as headmaster of the American school in Japan, for my family and me to experience that personally, and it has made a huge impact on my three children, and I can't say enough of what it can do to broaden somebody's mind, the whole mission thing, whatever they're teaching there, but they're bringing Christ to the nations literally, and so that's just a personal testimony for me.
And Dr. Jay, you mentioned that your grandson, I believe, is studying abroad?
He has been abroad several times with Seward's choir. He will be going over this spring to Europe, and then Bulgaria, Sweden, and so forth. He'll be student teaching, it looks like, in Shanghai, and then he wants to begin his career. He and his fiance, once they get married, they want to have a career overseas.
What kind of advice would you have for parents who maybe are just a little leery of sending their child on the other side of the world to study?
Let the bird fly away. it's just a fantastic experience, and I know it's tough for parents, but they'll gain so much, and their kids will gain so much. So I'd say support them all the way, and then go back to the pillow and cry a little bit.
And I'll add a little more practical advice. I think that's one of the greatest gifts a parent can give their child is the opportunity to see the world that God's created and to give them the lens through which to see the potential for their life. And that is it does bring with it risk. And we are aware of that. And I will say that the faculty members who take students abroad and the university, and this is true for any of our Concordia universities, and I know the people who are working with their international programs, they take great care to make sure that arrangements are made for students to be safe, for them to have the documentation that they need, for all the backup systems to be in place, and who better to have your child traveling with than a Lutheran educator and one who's committed to caring for that gift of God. I would say it's the greatest gift that a parent can give to their child.
Great.
Very well said. Now, what about the athletic enthusiast? What athletics are offered there at Concordia?
We are in Division III, NCAA Division III, and I love that. And whenever we talk about going Division II or I, I oppose that. And I played sports, I coached sports, I love sports, but it's kind of it brings an innocence to it. I love watching sports at that level rather than those who get scholarships. We have every program imaginable. It's incredible. We have added hockey, we've added lacrosse for both men and women to every sport you can think of. I think we got 19 programs going. We just have a brand new baseball stadium that was built for the Wooden Bat League, kind of a semi-pro type of league for freshmen and sophomores in college. Beautiful field, all turfed, and we get thousands of people, probably 1,500 a game, in the summer to watch this team, and we get the use of it then because it's on our property in the fall and the spring. So that's just one example. We just built a football stadium. We're thinking about putting a dome for the winter practices and so forth. We really are. But they're strong programs, full-time coaches now because obviously they're bringing in students, and we put a big emphasis that they have to be Christian coaches and great models for their players. I had three kids, all were athletes, and especially my son. And it's a great leadership opportunity for our students.
Great. Maybe you guys can tell me a little bit about some of the extracurricular activities that Concordia offers that may be different from the secular university.
Oh, this is Bernard Bull. So I think I mentioned some of those before. We do have a lot of opportunities for students to get involved in different Christian service out in the community, and the children's ministry and youth ministry, and we have a pretty strong commitment to service learning here. So one of the leaders in our academic office, one of the other assistant vice presidents of academics, has a real strong passion for helping students to cultivate servant leadership mindset. And so that extends into a wide variety of opportunities for service in the community.
Yeah, one of those is the House of Refuge that is a ministry that's operated by the Wisconsin District. But we've had, under the leadership of actually our study abroad director, began a outreach with the House of Refuge, which is a home for women who are either avoiding pressures for abortion or who have family issues. And she's had up to 80 students at a time working at renovating this house and this home for these women. It's been it's had a big impact on a whole block of students, just the ability to be in that service learning opportunity right here in the Milwaukee area.
This is Dr. J. One of the exciting things that so many students, 80, 90 at a time, do over spring break is one of those service opportunities. They've been going to Mexico, but when we talked about the safety, when Dr. Berner was talking about the safety issue, we have been going to Mexico because of the cartels and the problems that are happening along those border towns. So the last 2 years, they went to New Orleans, and they continue to help New Orleans come back. And they just come back just all excited and ready to go. So, yeah, lots of activities. I don't think Concordia students can say anymore there's nothing to do over the weekends or nothing to, it's just a lot of stuff going on.
All right. Well, guys, with just a few more minutes left in our show today, if you could maybe tell us some success stories of students that you can think of, maybe that had a Lutheran higher education or that graduated there from Concordia.
I'll start with sort of a little more non-traditional sense. So you'd ask about the online and the graduate programs and so forth, and that's a really exciting thing. We have, people don't realize that half of our student body is made up of adult learners, so people can pursue their, actually we have a center in St. Louis where people can go back if they never pursued a bachelor's degree and they'd like to. They have an option to do that face-to-face or online. And I really enjoy working with some of our students. I'll give some examples of Lutheran teachers, for example, who are serving in maybe a rural community where their closest commute to a university is 2.5 hours away, or someone who is working, maybe it's a single mom who has two jobs, just trying to make ends meet, but they really feel called to a new profession, and they're able to go online. Those are the stories that I really love to see, people who share the things that they've done. We had even one instance of a grad student who, as a result of the program, was able to put together a grant proposal for a couple $100,000 that they used to fund a professional development initiative for their school district. People who go through the programs and take on leadership positions in business and schools. Maybe you guys want to give some specific stories. I don't know if any come to mind right away.
I'm overwhelmed when I think about it. There's hundreds. But one that just hit my mind now, first name is Chad, was just a mess here at Concordia. He was a very good football player, but was a mess from every way you could possibly think. And one of my colleagues, Mary and I, just took this kid under our wing. And you don't have all success stories, but you worked hard at it. And we're just thrilled about him. This guy has... We couldn't believe it. First of all, he was a great teacher and relationship person. He ended up as being principal of one of our largest Lutheran elementary schools around here, and now he's at a Lutheran high school as assistant principal, and we never, ever would have guessed it. So that's one that's on my mind. There are so many. It's exciting. That's why we do what we do.
Wonderful. Reverend Dr. Berner, Dr. Bull, and Dr. Jurgensen, thank you so much for being a part of Faith and Family today.
Thank you.
All right. Come back with us tomorrow on Faith and Family. We'll be talking with a Lutheran mom who's a counselor, Melanie Wilson. She homeschools her children. So join us again tomorrow on Faith and Family. Make it a great day.